With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 210, 210, 220, whatever it takes.
Yeah,
you know. Is that a milestone, Joe?
I figure, yeah, round numbers are milestones.
I think that's a milestone for the second time you've used that joke.
I think we've used it more than that.
I
think,
well, yeah. I at least remember two.
At least.
Oh, sorry, in the last month.
Oh, okay.
I think I made that at 297.
It's our month anniversary.
Yeah.
He's gonna buy the podcast a promise ring.
Ooh,
that's what he's getting serious.
Yeah, it's
whatever it takes.
It's for real.
He wants to go to third base with Real Spoilers.
Whatever it takes.
And that's what you got to do.
Got to get.
That won't be the only ring I'm buying it.
Yeah. So I guess
that was gross.
What? Engagement ring after promise ring and then wedding ring.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I don't know what you're thinking.
That's where you're going. That's where you were going with it.
Weirdos.
That's not what I thought either.
Yeah.
Dan,
thanks, buddy.
Dan isn't here for another podcast, and Joe has to go.
It goes right in the toilet.
Yeah.
Doesn't take me long.
No, not at all. That's what we've heard.
Depends on what I eat.
That's why you need to buy one of those rings.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking about, I was like, new ring. I was going the other way with it. It wasn't the one that goes on. Never mind.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location. We're just let's go around the table and people can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We have a guest this week. This is your third
yeah.
time.
This is my one for the year.
And it's the first time I've ever been on a podcast with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Well, say your name.
Brian.
Brian Spath. Brian Spath. Yeah. And so, and give him your pedigree, in case they don't recall.
I work for Cinema St. Louis, which presents the St. Louis International Film Festival here in, or should I say the location, undisclosed.
No, you can
just... Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, boy. Oh, whoops. So, yeah, I'm operations supervisor, whatever.
Look at that.
That means at Cinema St. Louis, but I'm for the festival itself, I program shorts, narrative shorts. So.
Gotcha. So he's got...
I watch a lot of...
Your opinion matters
movies.
More than ours.
That's true. That's,
for all intents and purposes, just call him Lord Spathington.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, hang on. Totally lost my train of thought. There was something I was going to ask.
That's happened.
I know.
Yeah.
It would make more sense last week after McCarthy. When I was so tired.
Do you take your meds?
I should go take those right now. So well, screw it, we'll just go into shameless plugs. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. And if you would like to join the League of Show Sharers, you can find us at facebook.com/realspoilers. People that joined the League of Show Sharers this week: Julianne Jordan, Linnea Thunsell, Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Michael Tonkovic, Lane Levanway, Tom Kaminsky, Chris Sanders, Jason Antris, Brent Smith, Brett Schulte, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Zach Bach. It's always hard to say his name.
Why?
Because it's Z-A-C-H-B-A-C-H, but it's not. So you want to either call him Zach Bach or Zach Back, but it's not.
Well, that's why he changed it from Johann Sebastian, just to make it at least easier to say, right?
And then Chris Sansochi and Tammy Sherman Power. She sent us an interesting note this week.
She did?
Did you see?
Are we getting sued?
No, we're not getting sued.
Oh, good.
She commented in a thread and saying how, because we were talking about her name last week and about how You said she sounded like a law firm because I used to refer to her as the
attorneys at law. Yeah, Tammy Sherman
Tammy
Powers.
Sherman Powers, attorneys at law. And then I would, to be shy, I would say she sounds like a Civil War
general.
And she said that that she currently lives in upstate New York, but she says, I briefly moved to northern Florida about 20 years ago. This was before I was married and just went by Tammy Sherman. And she says, the South never forgets. Or at least that was what was screamed at me by an elderly woman in line at my bank. I was told by a five-year-old, go home, Yankee.
That's me.
She's like, Sherman is still a dirty word in the
God.
South.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Just to add insult to injury, she was driving a Lincoln.
Just to stick it to him.
Yeah, just to stick it to him. Right, the right. only time they want you to drive a Lincoln, to the theater.
Aww.
Too soon?
No, I guess not. Okay. Yeah, you're fine.
Way too soon.
I think
so have you guys faced litigation before? Or is that just like an ongoing joke? Like, are we being sued?
We're just assuming it's going to come at some point.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
We actually went out and formed an LLC just so when we eventually get sued,
we can
bankrupt it out and just start a new
one. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Now we can say whatever we want. We'll deny the Holocaust. Like, we don't care.
You know, when we do get sued and file bankruptcy, we'll have to be real spoilers. R-E-A-L.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we'll finally have to just own
we're just
that.
Gonna actually just be dirty pirate hookers. That's what we're gonna
that's well it's, yeah. it's that, ready. I've that, got it waiting in the wings.
That website will if you go to dirtypiratehookers.com, it does take you to the real spoilers website.
That's correct.
That is that is a true fact.
Yeah.
Which yes I know is redundant.
We won't tell you what we do at our night jobs, but just go to that website.
I think I've talked enough about my job. They
yeah, me too.
Hey, and we have an email.
Holy, we have.
Is it a real one?
No, we have an email address. I just remembered.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm like, I didn't know we still had one.
No, we have an email from Harry Stein.
Oh, look at that. He's back.
I mean, never mind. I'm just saying.
Are you going to do a call? Ring call back.
I was going to be like, the previous you know joke is that it
Harry
was
Harry Stein, wink, wink, yeah. Joe Battisi.
You know what's interesting is that if you decide to bleep out Ring, you'll have to use the sound of a chicken to do it, and I think that actually makes it dirtier.
Well, I won't tell you when he sent this email because
he's ignoring all of this.
You're like one of the adults in Peanuts. Like,
No, you guys are. Your jokes are, and I'm sitting over here like, yeah, I'm going to read this email.
This is the first time ever. You're like the adult in the room. No, yeah. I'm not.
So I won't tell you when this email's from, but I do remember we have an email, and Harry Stein said, I have returned from the grave to slam Friday the 13th facts all over Real Spoilers email.
Yeah.
There are 12 movies counting Freddy vs. Jason, and there will be a 13th movie next year.
We'll see.
Speaking of masked slashers, there will be a Leatherface prequel this year. I didn't know that.
I've heard that that's in the works. We'll see if it actually happens.
Is Freddy Krueger a masked slasher?
No.
That's weird that he would say speaking of masked
slashers. He said Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Jesus, Brian. Friday that's the Nightmare 13th? On Elm Street.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Jason Voorhees.
Oh, well, we're just going to have you refer.
I'll show myself out.
We're going to go back and refer to it as Cinema Undisclosed. I don't think you want.
Well, I think what threw me is when you said Freddy versus Jason. Right?
Gotcha.
Was
yeah.
that in there?
Yeah, it was.
That
yeah.
just got me thinking about that one. About Freddy.
You well,
don't
that
one. I don't. It doesn't.
Robert count. England wears a mask.
He does wear
I
a
mean,
mask.
That's not his real face.
But
I don't
his character
think.
Isn't wearing a mask.
I know.
Can you prove that, Kevin?
Speaking of masked slashers.
Sure, just watch V. He's in V.
Oh, he is in V, isn't
he's
he?
He's Willie. He's yeah, the he's right. the kind-hearted alien.
Isn't that weird?
And you just watch Watchmen, and he totally doesn't have a mask. Oh, wait.
That's Jackie Earle Haley.
Isn't that who... That's who plays him in the new...
In the new one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Robert England does...
I know. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
But he does wear a mask.
Holy... This I know, conversation has gone off the rails.
That was the joke. I said, never mind. Watch Watchmen. Never mind. Too
Can
complex.
We just go back to talking about...
Yeah. Can we just go back to our specialty?
That was a simpler time.
More in our wheelhouse. Wheelhouse spoilers.
So Harry says there will be a Leatherface prequel this year. As bad as that sounds, as bad as Batman v Superman Dawn of Mom Names was, and as bad as and as bad as Suicide Squad looks/is.
Yeah, that's so how old this email is.
We'll just redact that. The worst movie this year will be Yoga Hosers. Ooh,
oh, I don't know
Joe.
About that. I don't know if it'll be the worst.
Do you want to defend?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the worst. That's okay. My defense.
Well, in his defense, he hadn't seen Ben-Hur yet.
Oh, so, yeah, right.
I mean, but we'll get into the box office on that in a little bit here.
I don't think Yoga Hosers looks very good, but I will say... I don't think it can be the worst because it's not trying to be.
It's,
like
it is what it is. It's trying to be exactly
a silly, stupid comedy.
Right.
And so it's going to be pretty hard pressed for it to just completely fail
at that. Yeah,
you know exactly.
I think he wanted to make like a. I mean, he said he wanted to make like a teen
girl
comedy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Looks like that's exactly the audience, what he did. So.
Yeah. Is there a clear. Is there like a consensus worst movie of the year?
Right now?
Trying to think what we've seen. They're saying Ben Hur is probably the biggest failure.
Ghostbusters, is it the biggest failure?
No,
well,
Ben Hur.
I don't necessarily mean like financial failure, but just like,
Overall piece of
character. Dirty Grandpa, hands down.
Oh, okay.
That was pretty bad.
Dirty Grandpa, I mean, we saw that, it was January or February.
Yeah. Right.
And I still say that's the worst.
It was awful.
It is.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my vote for the Razzie, if they still do that.
That pedigree.
Yeah. Well, what about Nine Lives? That might be.
I didn't see Nine Lives.
I know, but Dirty Grandpa versus Nine Lives.
I think that's almost like the kid version of Yoga Hosers. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Sure. Right.
Yeah. Like, it's
with which?
It's Nine Lives.
Oh, you know what? But I feel like
cat movie.
But you know, I feel like Nine Lives was hoping to be a successful kids movie.
Yeah.
Was Jennifer Garner in that?
Kevin Spacey.
Unless Jennifer Garner plays the mom.
I don't know. Maybe.
I was hoping she'd play the cat.
Hey.
She didn't get any of that.
At least part of her.
This is
so is Affleck.
This is getting weird.
It's what we do.
So Harry decides to end his email with some spoilers for you, Tom, as usual. Ash gets sucked back in time. The hotel and its inhabitants are all in John Cusack's mind. Scott Pilgrim beats Ramona's evil exes, and everyone dies in Black Christmas, 74.
That's true. Yeah.
So thank you, Harry.
It's weird. You know, I just finished reading Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah,
he's a
Scott Pilgrim
is an awful person in that entire that entire book. Like you try to root for him, but he is terrible. And they do a really like in the movie, they're just like he's not so bad.
Yeah,
but
I thought the movie was so much better than the book.
I thought the movie was great. I think the books are fun,
but yeah. at the same time, I'm like, man, this is taking forever.
Yeah, yeah, can we just get that last volume out? Yeah. Like, let's wrap this up.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting. Great. At least you got your last volume. I'm still waiting on Hepcats.
Keep waiting.
Hepcats?
Yeah. Keep waiting.
That was good.
Speaking of, and that's Pamela Anderson starring
until
in that, right?
He, like, I don't know what happened with that.
He quit.
He just, yeah.
I mean, it's one of those that's, I would say it's like Cerberus, but like, it's different. Like, Cerberus, he just kind of like, I've got the longest running independent comic of all time. And then something was going to beat it. So he's like, I'll just put out one more issue. So he keeps it running.
What is Hepcats?
It was just a little indie comic that was, you know, was coming out, and then it just stopped. It was almost like...
But what is it about, though? I'm trying to figure out the genre and the story.
It's like anthropomorphized animals.
Yeah. Okay. And, yeah, kind of like Fritz the Cat. Like,
and they're going to college. Uh-huh. And it's just them interacting.
Oh, okay.
And it was, you know, it was just, I mean, really, if it wasn't for the fact that they were animals, it would just be like
Archie.
I mean, a little, but funnier.
Right.
It sounded like how I pictured it when you say something like Hepcats. It's like I picture H.E.P. with like capitals.
It wasn't an image comic.
No, but and then cats. And then I see cats and mechs fighting.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was an image comic.
All the rhinos had very tiny ankles,
giant pouches.
Yeah.
You could never see their hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's our email bag for today, believe it or not.
I still remember he got in trouble for there was
you talking about Rob Layfield?
No, the guy that did Hepcats. Yeah. There was one where he got in trouble for because there was like the main character I think was like a cat of some sort, like a tiger or something, and his friend was a rhinoceros.
Right.
And so his friend had something happened and his friend goes back to where he lives, like leaves college and goes home.
Okay.
And so his friend the cat like goes to find him.
Okay.
Right? And so he like takes a plane all the way back to where the rhino lives.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I'm just gonna land and find him, and he gets off. And when he gets off the plane in Africa, it's all rhinos in the airport, and he's like, this is going to be harder than I thought. And Like, in the guy's defense, I think he just thought he was making a dumb rhinoceros joke.
All the rhinos look the same.
But then it's like, obviously, oh, but the rhinos are from Africa.
Right. Everybody.
People were like, and he was like, oh, son of a bitch.
It's already out there. I can't like, even
think
now.
About it like that. Like, yeah. he got so invested in, like, them as characters that he kind of forgot that, like, if you take a step back.
Right. You take the animals out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've made an error.
Whoops.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Was that the last issue?
No. Yeah, it was not.
I wonder why Hepcats isn't running anymore. Weird.
No, it was not the last issue because it predated the internet, so he was allowed to live.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
God, who was the creator on that?
Was it Matt somebody?
Wagner?
That's what I was thinking.
But did Grendel.
No, then it's not him.
Grendel and Mage?
Yeah.
It's not him.
It was Martin Wagner.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Really?
That was pretty close.
Yeah, so I was. Yeah, we were pretty close. So
remember, Martin Wagner. We always go with the first guess.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Just put Wagner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll get it right.
We'll get it right.
So I guess we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus.
That was an inside joke between me and Brian. I didn't think about that.
We all really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a wonderful moment. We'll all look back on with great fondness.
Listeners, please write in with how much you enjoyed that joke. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
That was really nice of you.
Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And to Joe's disappointment.
Oh.
The number.
Suicide Squad?
The number one movie of the week in week three, Suicide Squad.
Man, that's crazy.
Another $20 million. It is far over $500 million worldwide now. So, I mean.
I don't know how that's happening.
Because it's August.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's true.
But still, I mean, it's doing. But the thing is, so Batman v Superman gets lambasted, and it has two huge title characters. And it made barely, it didn't break $900 million, which is a lot of money, but not for that. It's like $874 million, right? And so Suicide Squad is a bunch of the B-list, you know, it's not Batman, it's not Superman, it's your B-list superheroes.
B-list is generous.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, exactly. And it's getting lambasted, and it has made over $500 million in 3 weeks. So, like, it could be on pace to, I mean, get near Batman v Superman money. Well, getting close. I mean, it's in week three, so I'm not saying it will, but
a lot of that would depend on what other markets it's rolled out in.
Is it doing China?
They pulled it to China, right? China.
They did. Yeah. See, so that probably would.
That's going to kill it.
Because China, it's Harry Carey squad. Seppuku squad.
That's
one of those Japanese, probably. And I just said something horribly Harry offensive.
I believe that's Harikari.
Harikari.
Oh, I was like the announcer from the Cubs.
I don't follow sports or Asian culture.
But you know who Harry Carey is?
Well, because Will Ferrell did all those jokes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, you said $20 million.
$20 million
for the weekend,
domestic in week three.
For the week.
For the week. Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
This weekend.
The weekend.
Oh,
what
is the weekend box office?
That's so small.
$20 million is the number one movie, but it's the end of August.
Yeah. But still, I don't know, with like four high profile movies that came out this week.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So just keep in mind that Ben-Hur, a big budget blockbuster, also opened this weekend. Just keep that in mind. So Suicide Squad is number one with $20 million. Uh-huh. So it doesn't go up from there, if I understand math correctly.
Yeah, it's number one.
So this isn't like golf?
No. No, the numbers will keep going down despite what you might think. So in number two, Sausage Party.
All right.
Wow.
Good for it.
So week two for Sausage Party, it's made another 16.4. That's a 52% drop. So, I mean, that little movie and that has its own turmoil. Not that it's a bad movie.
I just
movie,
saw
but
that.
Did you see all the stuff from the animation department?
They were forced to work terrible. Overtime without getting paid.
Yeah, and you would get fired if you didn't work free overtime. Like, that's pretty crappy.
Right. I wonder, like, I'm surprised.
And I don't think those are made up stories. Like, I feel like.
You don't think it's like that Warner Brothers letter that's like.
The difference with this one is I feel like this movie had a small enough budget where they obviously did have to keep it down.
Yeah.
And now they're touting how small their budget was and how successful it is. And all these animators are like, hey. And then the other crappy part is the people that they fired because they wouldn't work overtime, they're not even in the credits.
That's,
like, they pulled their names.
Wow.
So they put all this time in and then they let them go.
Yeah, supposedly there's 80 animators on the film and only 47 were credited.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
33 people. So they fire you, you lose your job and your credit.
I guess I've always felt like Seth Rogen was kind of a stand-up dude. And I'm surprised he hasn't said anything.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Like, not while this movie is making bank. Maybe he'll write it later. But, like, I don't think this is him. I think it's those directors.
No,
like,
he can't do anything. I mean, he's
those
just,
directors sound like
he's a producer,
D-bags.
Right?
No, wasn't he the writer?
He was a producer and a writer, right?
He was a writer with Goldberg.
Okay.
I feel like it's those directors. I don't know.
Who do we? Who do they do anything else?
Are there two of them?
I feel like now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but to me, they're all out there gloating how successful it is, and they're low budget, and you're getting multiple accounts, or 30 probably accounts of people who aren't credited and got fired, and that's pretty crappy.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. That's terrible. So, but anyway, but that is up to $16 million. It's up to $66 million domestic. And
so is that WB letter, was that, you think it's fake?
I think that's...
So I don't think it's fake, but what I did hear is that the guy was fired in 2014.
Oh, so...
So like, any information he has... is way old. 2 years old.
Yeah.
So he says that Wonder Woman's a complete train wreck. It probably was in 2014. Where they're like, I don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what we're doing.
But they've been knocking them out of the park ever since then.
Just owning every piece of the way.
It should be great,
It should be amazing. If that trailer's any indication, it's going to be wonderful.
I think that letter seemed more of a disgruntled employee letter than like the Sausage Party thing. It's like, you know, where there's enough smoke, there's fire.
Okay, but sometimes... employees are disgruntled for a reason.
Everything he said could absolutely
the way it was released and like him being let go that long ago, and I don't know. I think he's trying to throw them under the bus for their past mistakes, maybe. I think that
mistakes.
But that's what I mean. I think he's throwing Wonder Woman under the bus, but he didn't probably have really anything to do with it.
The joke's on him because it's an invisible bus.
See, that's what it is. That's what it is.
When was Wonder Woman shot? 2015?
You can't shoot Wonder Woman. She's got those bracelets.
Oh,
she's got
true.
Those sweet
that's
bracelets. Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
What is going on?
When she her music
a little too tight.
Yeah, need a little more heavy guitar riff in there.
I guess it would have filmed in 2015. Yeah,
okay.
Because it comes out this
year,
this year
or next year,
next year,
next year.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is it next year?
Yeah, 2017. It's like May or June.
What's the one? So we've got Doctor Strange and we've got
Rogue One
are the big ones this year. Okay. So Sausage Party, $19 million budget, and it's at $66 million domestic, but...
Did you see that Linda Carter is going to be on Supergirl?
Yeah, president.
As the president.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's neat.
As possibly Diana. They haven't said that. They haven't said that she's...
No, they're not.
Whoa. Why wouldn't they? At this point? They're like, we have everybody else to, you know, we can do anything we want.
CW is just like...
I'm telling you, maybe CW should start making
anything
these movies.
Berlanti wants to do one.
It's going to be DC, CW in the logo.
I think Berlanti wants to do a Booster Gold movie.
CW is like Pixar to their Disney feature animation like in the 90s, early 2000s.
Exactly,
when it was like everything Disney touched turned to crap.
Right.
But Pixar was kicking ass.
Yeah. Remember when DC movies used to be the best? Like,
no. When did that happen?
Batman Returns.
Superman?
I mean,
Superman in 1978.
Batman,
that's because Marvel didn't have anything then.
But and at the same time, like, nobody cared. It's like,
also true.
Like, those are the two superheroes that people cared about.
Yeah, exactly.
You almost got that Tobey Hooper Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
From Canon Films.
Yeah.
That almost happened.
And if the James Cameron Spider-Man movie would have came out, maybe Marvel would have been doing all right.
Probably not.
Have you read that script?
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So probably not.
His webs were like coming out of his butt or something. He's like, no, we got to make it realistic.
Anatomically correct.
Yeah, right.
Number three. Hey, a number.
Does it end with him like Peter Parker becoming a registered sex offender?
Yeah, yeah. Like he can't swing anywhere anymore. Like he has to like route his routes through like MapQuest to avoid schools and
playgrounds.
Yeah,
he can't save anybody within 200 yards of a school.
Who uses MapQuest?
I don't know. Well like it was 2002.
Remember when the movie came out?
True. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. He just wears those underwear with the butt flap. So easily.
That's why he's so acrobatic.
That's why they call him Underoos.
Yeah, Underoos. Yeah.
He's wearing the hillbilly underwear.
That was my first image of that was Buddy Ebsen.
That sounds about right. Mine was Paul Kettle.
Tom's was his pair that he wore.
Tom's was what he's wearing right now.
I'm just glad my first image wasn't Ma Kettle.
That's true. Yeah.
Sometimes she wore them backwards.
But her fupa covered it up, so it's fine.
Oh, my goodness. You guys got some weird fan fiction.
This is what happens when Dan's not here.
We're on today. Number three, hey, opening weekend for a movie. War Dogs opened to $15 million.
So. Awesome, didn't you? Who all saw that?
I saw it.
And?
I liked it.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I thought the editing, like, to me, like, the way that it was edited, it seemed like, all right, we've got our movie now, let's plug in some songs.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know.
Are you sure not thinking of Suicide Squad?
But yeah. I really thought that, like, the edit to me was just kind of bland and boring. And
yeah, I will.
It could have benefited from being a little more charismatic or
yeah,
a little more personality.
I will say,
edited to the songs at least.
Yeah, they were really trying to go for that kind of Wolf of Wall Street energy, yeah. And I don't think they ever fully got it. And if they had, it would have taken that movie to the next level.
Is this his first flick since Hangover 3?
I believe so.
Think so.
Man, that guy was—you couldn't touch that guy for a minute. Like he was not cranking out hits,
and then he made Hangover.
And then he made Hangover 2.
Yeah,
actually, I just rewatched 3 because it was on like HBO or AMC.
Never seen it.
And I couldn't watch it because it was edited. So I was like, I have this somewhere.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's a different movie.
I couldn't get past 2 when I saw 2 in the theaters.
3 was better than 2.
3 is better than 2. It's a different story.
The weird thing about 2 for me was that because I saw it like way after it came out, I didn't see it in the theater, okay. So I just it was on cable and I'm like whatever, okay, and it was like it was like the Dane Cook of movies in that it had
For the timeline that's pretty good.
It had the rhythm of a comedy, but there were no actual jokes because
it had the rhythm of Hangover 1.
Oh, yeah, like totally followed the beats of Hangover 1. There were no they were literally not telling jokes. Like it was just things were happening and the story was moving forward, but there were no jokes.
Is that the Megan McCarthy one? Is that the one where her and Alan get together? Like where she works at the thrift shop?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I just remember like I was really caught
what
off
movie
guard
are
by
you talking
Hangover
about?
2. It's either 2 or 3.
I was just really caught off guard by how it wasn't even like there were jokes that weren't funny. There just weren't jokes.
So
just,
not only was it a retread that was not funny.
It was almost like it was a second to last draft of the film that it was like, okay, now we've got our story lined down.
They probably rushed it because one was...
And now so we'll much. Hire like a script doctor to go in and punch it up and we'll hire a couple comics and they'll go in and drop in jokes and like... And then the people on the film will punch it up because you have the talent there.
Yeah, you do.
And then just nobody ever did. It was very odd.
Is that the one was the tattoo one.
Yeah.
Was it? Or 2's the one where he gets the tattoo.
Oh, where he gets the tattoo.
Yeah.
Because they had issues where the tattoo artist
had to like digitally change it.
Was going
to
sue them.
Oh, yeah. That guy was
who did Tyson's tattoo.
Yeah, he was from St. Louis, wasn't he?
Yeah. And the firm that represented him was in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think in the DVD release, they digitally like changed a line.
Yeah.
So it was different.
That's
so
interesting
crazy.
To think about the law behind that. That like if a celebrity gets a tattoo, you know, and then he's
a
public
figure. If a celebrity gets a tattoo and then another like and they put that on.
And you're doing a parody.
See, I would think it would be protected under parody law.
But there is no
parody
such
law
thing
doesn't
as parody
exist.
Law. See, that's the misconception. There's no such thing as parody law. You can sue for anything and have a court, but there is no.
But no, normally it's parody's protected speech. I mean, normally they don't.
Oh, is that what
see,
it
there's
is?
Trademark and there's copyright law, and so when you if something's trademark or copyrighted, it doesn't matter what you parody because there's a lot of companies that have gotten like people that make T-shirts with copyrighted characters, but they're changing them, they're parodying them, they're putting them in funny situations, they're drawing them in a goofy manner, so it's like they're not protected by parody law. Those are trademarked figures, they're copyrighted, that's illegal. There's no parody
law. How does Weird Al get away
him.
With what he does?
Yeah,
well, he gets permission.
But he doesn't have to get permission.
Who'd you say?
Weird Al.
Weird Al.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't have to get permission.
Yeah.
He does not have to get permission.
He didn't get permission from what's his name? From Coolio.
But he did it anyway.
I guess
they could technically sue him, and if a court finds.
No, they can't. I mean, I've seen interviews with him where he talks about like he gets permission out of respect, but he doesn't have to get permission.
Right.
And that he in the Coolio thing, he thought Coolio had given him permission, and he misinterpreted or like
That's
it
one
was
of his biggest songs,
or like the label said it was okay, but Coolio didn't.
Because Coolio like called him an asshole.
Yeah,
Grammys.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, have you heard Weird Al's song? He's like, oh.
I'm not sure.
And that's why, like, he did, he's got a version, a parody of Lose Yourself by Eminem.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's on any of his records.
Yeah, he plays it live.
He plays it live, but you won't.
Maybe songs fall in a different category.
Maybe Eminem's
like,
I effing dare you.
Songs versus images.
Song
honestly, songs versus images might fall in a different legal precedent because I don't, you know.
That's why he's never done any songs by Prince. Prince would never.
Oh, really?
Approve.
Prince didn't approve anything.
Yeah.
That story with him and Kevin Smith is my favorite.
It's a weird story.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the backside of that?
No.
Where he got, like, so that DVD came out. If you don't know, there's a story on the first evening with Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah, no, I heard his story on the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a second part to that story where, like, Prince hears the story and freaks out and goes to sue him. And
like, for libel?
Yes, the whole thing. And his publicist is like, what do you, like, you signed an NDA. You can't say that stuff. He's like, I never signed one. And she goes, what? He's like, I never signed one. Your people gave it to me. And I just was like, yeah, I'll get to it later. And never signed it.
Wow.
And she was like,
clever.
I'll call you back. And that was the, he's like, that's it. That's the last I ever heard of it.
Yeah.
And I never got in trouble. I never got sued. I never got in trouble. He's like, now that he's dead, I feel like an asshole. But he's like, they tried.
That's the second dead guy he feels like an asshole because of.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
So, all right. So, are we ready to move on?
Tangents.
So, number four, another opening movie, Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, I wanted to check that out.
It does look good. It's the same people who did Coraline. Is it the Coraline?
Yeah. Laika.
Yeah. That's.
Did they do.
Looks pretty sweet.
What was the other one?
Box Trolls, Paranorman.
Paranorman.
Yeah.
Paranorman.
Yeah, that makes some good looking flicks.
Yeah. Incredible the stuff they do.
Yeah, it opened to $12.5 million. So I don't know if I have. Actually, I don't know.
Did
if I have
the box office on that
one. Yeah,
and
yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
oh, is
yeah,
it?
It's really, really good.
Is it as good as the other stuff or better? What do you think?
I liked it more than Box Trolls. Okay, like on par with Coraline and and Paranorman.
Nice.
Maybe more so. It's really well, really, really well done.
It has a $60 million budget, so I mean, it does have quite a bit to make up. It opened to 12, so
I wonder how that's going to do overseas because like, it's an all like white cast, a Caucasian cast.
Does it take place in Asian based
Japan?
Yeah, it's like a Japanese parable almost.
Huh. Oh, it's funny. I thought it was Japanese and they just hired American people like for the translation.
Oh, sure.
You know how they do.
Oh, right.
Like anime or whatever.
Yeah, like I thought it was like that.
No.
So it's Matthew McConaughey, Charlize Theron, Rooney Mara, Ralph Fiennes, George Takei.
So where, I've been thinking about this lately, where is the line between this person can do accents and lose themselves in the character and
we want a name
and that's a hate crime?
I think
Aloha.
Like, are we gonna look back at Meryl Streep and think she's the biggest racist ever?
Why?
Like, is she, because she does, she accents and loses herself in characters.
Oh.
She's built a career out of that. She's known, she's the go-to. And is that gonna be like, like, are we going to look back and is it two generations from now, are they going to watch a Meryl Streep film and it's going to be like step and fetch it?
You know,
for
you
them.
Said that about, you said that about, what was the Eddie Redmayne flick where he was the transgender?
Yeah.
Danish girl?
Yeah. Yeah, just like, a, do you.
Where
do
there's
we,
transgender.
Well, do we look at that in 10 years and be like, and
why didn't they hire a transgender person?
Look at it like blackface.
Yeah.
You know, like, what were you thinking?
But yeah,
casting a man.
I mean, that's the problem with political correctness. You know, that's the
is
problem
that
we get into.
Is political correctness, though?
It
like,
is.
Or is it.
I think it's more like Western culture. Like, if it falls within Western culture, that's okay. Like, if she does British accent or like German accent or whatever,
yeah,
that's okay. But if it goes, you know, Eastern, Asian.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. It's like,
like Short Circuit.
That's like Don Rickles as a Native American.
Or
in the original Ben Hur, which, you know, have we mentioned Ben Hur this
week?
Oh, okay.
Yet.
In the original Ben Hur, the guy that plays, I think he was an Arabian prince that finances Ben Hur for the chariot race, that's brownface. It's a white guy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Charlton Heston plays a Mexican Touch of Evil.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I've just related
Fisher
to movies.
Stevens and Short Circuit.
Right. Right. Exactly. So it's like, but in those older movies, they did that stuff, but it's like nowadays when you look at it.
Paul Newman, didn't Paul Newman play a Native American in
yeah, he did, and like pretty early
the Rashomon remake, is that what it was, is that what I'm thinking of? William Shatner was in it.
I'm trying to remember, but pretty early in his career. And then
I can't remember. Natalie Wood, didn't she in The Searchers, wasn't she?
Yeah, she plays
she plays a Native American.
Well, wait. No,
she was abducted.
She gets abducted and then raised as a Native
was
American.
Was it Hombre with Paul Newman?
That sounds.
I don't think so.
It's not.
No.
Well, and then there was what was the other one? Not Paul Newman, but it reminded me of that where they. John Wayne. Genghis Khan.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was thinking about that the other day because Omar Sharif played Genghis. Did he play Genghis Khan in another version of that story?
In Hombre, Paul Newman
plays. In the ultimate act of karma, that is the movie that gave him lung cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They filmed it. That's widely believed, is because they were filming that where they had done out in Arizona or Nevada, where they had done all the atomic testing.
Okay.
Oh. And so they wanted an area that looked like a desert. And so they.
Here's one.
There's nothing living here. That's no reason.
What's the worst that could happen?
No reason. Well, just, you know.
Indiana Jones falls out of a refrigerator.
Yeah. Like, say, if his trailer had been a refrigerator, he would have been okay.
And I looked it up. Hombre is about an Apache-raised white man played by Paul Newman who faces prejudice in the white world after he returns for his inheritance. So maybe that.
Maybe that's not as bad as it sounds.
No, he's Apache-raised, but not.
Let me see if I can find what that was.
Not Jonah Hex.
We'll wait.
No, you guys just keep going. I'll insert.
But you might miss what's number five this weekend. Oh, and yeah, did I mention Kubo and the Two Strings has a $60 million budget?
That's a
big budget. $12.5 million. I do believe it only opened in the States as of this week, though. So, you know, if it gets the foreign money, that would make a big difference. So
it's weird. So, like, when you get to DVD and home box office.
Yeah.
I guess that's where they make their money on stuff like this.
If it gets
close, you know, then...
If they make profit or even break even at the box office, then it's profit after that, and they got to sell as much as they can. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. Did you find it?
Not yet.
No, okay, we'll check back in with you later.
The outrage. The outrage, that's what it is.
The outrage?
Yeah.
Is he the Indian that's crying, picking up trash on the side of the road?
That guy's not an Indian either.
Yeah.
He wasn't an Indian. He played a Mexican.
Okay.
I wonder if the guy in this movie was an Indian.
But the guy... crying on the side of the road wasn't an Indian?
No.
What is wrong with people?
Really?
I don't think
that
so.
That was the 80s.
That was an episode of The Sopranos where they were like...
They got into it about it?
They were going to try... Like, I think he's Italian or something, and they were going to...
It was like
a comic relief subplot where they were going to try and, like, blackmail this other group because they're like, well, that guy's not actually a Native American.
Jeez.
But it's Sopranos. They probably didn't say Native American.
No, they did not say Native American.
They probably said Indian.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to say, all those people that said you don't learn anything from television, I just want to say, screw you.
Yeah, we still don't. Because you didn't know that guy was an Indian.
Well, Tom learned.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's true. That's a good
what
point.
The hell?
It was Sopranos. Like, yeah.
So, anyway, number five. You guys ready for this? Ben-Hur, the epic blockbuster remake.
I was hoping
it'd be
the movie that we're
going
to talk about in the next episode.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not there yet. But Ben-Hur opened to $12 million.
I feel like there are certain movies you don't remake, right? Like,
well, we kind of got into this before. We've talked about
this. I feel like that's one that you can do, though. Ben-Hur.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like that's...
It's kind of a classic in my mind. I don't know.
I feel like that's...
I wouldn't want them to remake it.
I've never seen it, so...
I've never seen the original?
I think it's a movie. It's a famous movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a movie that there's a lot of people that have a lot of love for.
Because I keep getting it confused with Spartacus. That's the... You keep saying Charlton Heston. I was like, it's Kirk Douglas. What are you talking about? But I guess that's true, so I... Never mind.
Have never seen Ben-Hur?
I feel like I've probably seen it. Have you
seen it? I don't know that I have.
Holy crap. It's a good movie. It's a beautiful looking movie. It's the one that has like the super wide aspect ratio.
I mean,
it's just one of those super ultra Panavision type movies.
And
beautiful, beautiful film. And I mean, really good acting. It's a good story. It's not if you're not into religious movies, it's not Passion of the Christ. You know, it's not centering around religion.
Is that a religious movie? Or just a reason for Mel Gibson to beat up Jesus?
You say potato? I don't. But so, but I mean, it is not like a preachy type religious movie. So if you're thinking, oh, it's a religious movie, it's not really. Like, you know, Ben-Hur comes across Jesus at different points of his life. So it does tell the story of Christ in the background.
Like Superman.
It's more than that. But
does Ben-Hur and Jesus, do they both have a mother named Mary?
Why'd you say that name?
But it's an excellent film. I mean, if you can check it out on Blu-ray, it's beautiful.
Jesus played by Macho Man? What is going on over there?
Oh, yeah.
Bonesaw is ready.
Joe's just having one of his strokes.
Digging into some transubstantiation.
Are there ever real spoilers movie nights?
Oh.
No, we don't like to spend any more time with each other.
Look, man,
this is plenty.
Like, 2 hours with each other a week.
More than we can do.
I'm pretty much ready to go now, so we better get through this. So, Ben-Hur, on its $100 million budget, $12 million.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised that it was only $100 million.
Well,
you thought it was gonna be higher?
No stars, I guess that helps.
Yeah, and yeah. That's the, you know, there was a really interesting article out, and I can't remember who wrote it. I meant to bring the name
Cosmic
of it, but
Book News. Alan Smithy.
But I know there's an interesting article about movies and people saying movies don't need movie stars, you know. And
I think you need a star,
you know. And this the argument is that if Ben-Hur had a star, because right now the way that basically what they're saying is society is so inundated with these YouTube stars and social media stars, you're seeing people and they think, oh well, this person could be a star, they have a big following, but it's different.
Is that what happened in this movie? Well, did they cast like a YouTuber?
No. It's Jack Houston, but Jack Houston isn't an A-list movie star. He's not a star, right?
I wouldn't even.
So you've got a guy
B. Even?
I don't.
He's getting there.
He's a good actor.
Yeah,
but this has always been kind of the pattern: is they make a movie that doesn't have an A-lister, and then if the movie's a big hit, the guy becomes an A-lister, right? Like, I mean, like a good recent example is Guardians of the Galaxy. You remember on that episode, Joe, that we talked? Oh, wait.
No,
you
Brian was here though.
But you know, I mean, but he was
I not there either?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
You may maybe not I have had been. Blake was here.
I wonder if
do you guys remember him?
That's a switch. Blake, can you describe him?
But that's funny. Blanque. I didn't remember missing that episode, but I didn't
likes,
think I'd been on a
likes
podcast.
Beer.
Huck's beer.
Married. You say, but I do remember you saying that. Like you can see. That movie didn't have a star.
Yeah, I mean,
it had one after the fact.
It had one, yeah. You know, and I mean, you can go back. Risky Business didn't have a star.
Yeah.
Booger. But, what, you know, what's that?
Booger. Curtis Johnson?
Curtis Armstrong?
He's on Supernatural.
Yeah.
I get you. I mean, there's certain star-making movies, but maybe they just need to cast. I mean, I don't know that Jack Houston.
But every star needed that star-making movie. Yeah. Right? You know what I mean? Like, no, you don't just. You arrive a star.
Independence
Day
is another good example.
Yeah,
it didn't really have a. I mean, it had Goldblum,
but that didn't have stars. No, that was a big premise movie that was elevated by a guy who gave a movie star's performance.
Was that Will Smith's first? Was that his breakout?
I think that's when he became a star.
He was in Six Degrees of Separation prior to that, but where he wouldn't kiss Anthony Michael Hall. There was some controversy around that at the time.
Looking back on it, just like maybe he wasn't ready yet. Given what the rumor is now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
But like I said, you see that all the time where it's like, you know, you need movies without stars in order or you'll never create new ones.
Correct.
Yeah. But, you know? So I guess the question is, Jack Houston, good actor, you know, like handsome dude, good actor.
He was in, what was that one that we saw where he was like the younger version of Alan Alda?
Oh, it was like one of those Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah,
movies.
Which actually romance he was movie. Good. Yeah. Like I remember liking him.
Yeah, that Alan Alda's gonna go somewhere. He's going. He's good.
Yeah, he's on his way. But yeah. He's a good, watch.
He's
it was a baby.
Did you see the 30 Rock he was on?
No.
Oh my God, it's worth it just because they make a joke about that.
Do they really?
Oh okay. My God, it's worth it just for that. Right. Yeah.
So the question is, even though Jack Houston is a good actor. Does he have the potential to become a movie star?
I think he does.
Is that dude just stuck being like a character actor?
I think he's got the look. I think, you know.
It's a really hard thing because it's chicken or egg.
Yeah, and there's also this nebulous quality of like, it's not enough to just be a good-looking guy or a good-looking girl. Yeah. There's never was. And there's because there's plenty of attractive people that just don't have that charisma to become movie stars.
Right.
Conversely, there are some people who aren't attractive enough, but their charisma is so intense.
He's charts. Like, he's motioning over at the.
I know. I was like, what
they become
doing?
Movie stars
what?
Anyway. No, you guys don't have charisma to be movie stars. Don't be
or
silly.
The looks. That's true. Looks.
Exactly.
That's true.
Neither of these things
Let's
apply
just get
to
straight
you.
To it.
Yeah, but like, look at like Humphrey Bogart. That's not a good looking dude. That's a weird looking dude. Yeah.
They made a movie where you don't see his face for like the first half of it.
Yeah,
that's how ugly he is.
But it's like that guy just oozed charisma.
Dustin Hoffman. Is a weird-looking dude.
That's a guy who should not be a movie star.
Yeah.
Why is he a movie star?
He's charismatic.
And if you ever see an interview with him, that guy's got no charisma whatsoever. Like, if you just talk to Dustin Hoffman, man, it is brutal. So, like, but you put him in a role, and you cannot look at him.
Yeah. Dustin Hoffman, who just came out in an interview, didn't come out in an interview. No. Dustin Hoffman, who in an interview just said that movies are not as good as they were 30 years ago, and movies are the worst they've ever been in history now. Right now,
I mean, Hollywood's making a case for it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I mean, that's his opinion. He says they're the worst. He says television's the best it's ever been, and movies are the worst they've ever been.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree. I don't think movies are the... Well, I mean, I've only been around for 34 years.
Movies are not as... Yeah, and movies are not as good as they used to be, I don't think. And I don't say that as a grumpy old man, because I would also agree that a TV is... at a peak.
Yeah. Oh, certainly.
It's going to drop.
With all these movie stars acting, I mean, how many movie stars would love to be in a good TV series? You know what I mean? Like, this is absolutely the best television ever.
Do you think True Detective is what started that?
No.
With the movie star on TV?
No, it's been happening before that.
Oh, no. It happened before that.
Yeah, True Detective is way too recent. But, I mean, within the last 6 or 7 years, I would say, is really when it started. I can't really pinpoint it.
I mean, think about
it, but
Kiefer Sutherland in 24.
Oh, that's true. You know? He wasn't an A-list actor when that started.
I feel
was
like
he?
It coincided, though. Like McConaughey, his ascent.
Yeah, McConaughey and Woody
Oscar
Harrelson.
Win, like, I feel like that was sort of simultaneous to, you know, the popularity of
like
True Detective.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you think about all these shows, you know, House of Cards and, I mean, I want to say Breaking Bad, but that didn't really have movie stars. That was television people, you know?
The Goldbergs.
But, all...
No, nobody.
What? Nobody. Just you, brother.
But yeah, all these amazing shows.
See,
they cast.
So I was thinking Molly Goldberg.
What's that?
It was just like there was a sitcom in the '50s based on a radio show called The Goldbergs. Oh,
Tom,
you have no
Tom,
one to blame
Tom.
Yourself. Just go to number. What movie are we on? Number three.
It was probably a show that had what, like 250 episodes in its run. Yeah. It ran for 10 years.
I think it probably had more than that. Yeah. I mean, and especially if you count radio.
Oh sure.
And she wrote them all.
Okay.
She wrote them
really?
All. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, there's a documentary about her. I think it's called like "You Who Mrs. Goldberg" because that was like kind of her. She began every episode with "You," like that's in. But it's just about like what a juggernaut this woman was, you know,
especially back then too.
Yeah.
So I think like one last thought on this like this box office thing with Ben-Hur. It's just hard to know. Like, all right, can we catapult from, you know, relatively obscure actor and become a box office beast? Or are we going to end up as it is, just like this fantastic bomb? But like, how do you know? Like, do we cast somebody unknown? Do we get a movie star? You know, how
does a movie star take the chance? Because I mean, Tom Hardy was supposed to be Rick Flag, and he got that script and was like, nope, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So I mean, you take a role like
that's your speculation.
Okay,
I'm just saying. You know, we don't know the story is that he denied it, but
sure.
He supposedly was shooting The Revenant, right?
Supposedly.
Okay. Just
saying,
I don't want people to be like, that's not true. So,
But yeah, I think in Hollywood today, if an actor takes the wrong role, he gets punished.
Oh, yeah.
Quote, unquote, punished.
Yeah. Sure.
You know? I feel like it's crazy like how that happens, though. Like there are any number of different ways it can play out where it's, you know, an actor takes, you know, is in a bad movie, gives a bad performance or whatever, and then you very rarely hear from him again, see him again. But then, you know, people are able to bounce back from that. But
I feel like that was McConaughey.
McConaughey was like the performer. It's always based
on
the performer.
Like Brendan Fraser. He's over at Dairy Queen right now cooking burgers. I don't know.
I think McConaughey is a good example. McConaughey was not... was on the down low.
Fool's Gold and like Sahara.
He was doing crappy romantic comedy.
He was making money, and then now he's...
Well, yeah, he did True Detective, and then and Dallas Buyers Club, and Interstellar.
Joe?
Mud. I was
like, Mud.
Mud was really good.
Mud was a great
movie.
Mud
was really good.
Mud was great.
Yeah.
What was the Nick Cage movie? Wasn't that called Joe?
Oh.
Sure.
Where he was... He's like
the weather,
you know, roughneck type of guy. And
out
in the woods.
Hey, isn't that movie came out this week, right? Lord of War?
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. That was bad. I didn't like that movie either.
That was basically kind of the same thing.
Yeah. He's an army.
It's him and Jared Leto,
isn't
it?
Wait. Yeah. Isn't that John Cusack?
Nicolas Cage was in one of them. Which one am I thinking of? Dogs of War. Nicolas Cage was
Lord of War.
Okay,
which I think is Nicolas Cage.
And then there is a John Cusack one.
Yeah, that came out after. But like Nicolas Cage and Jared Leto were the two.
I think you're thinking of Hot Pursuit.
Everything was back to Hot Pursuit.
No, who's in Hot Pursuit?
Melissa McCarthy.
There was a John Cusack movie that was was Hot Something, wasn't it?
Yeah, Lord of War was Nicolas Cage. But I know you're talking about, what's the John Cusack one where he's a weapon arms dealer?
His IMDb probably isn't that long from the last 10 years, so it should be pretty easy to find. Yeah.
Oh, man, we're tangentier than ever.
Yes, John Cusack had a movie called Hot Pursuit, 1987.
Wow.
Hot Pursuit is the one with Sofia Vergara, right?
Yeah, and Reese Witherspoon. Midnight Run remake.
Yeah. He was in War Inc.
War Inc. Okay. Yep.
See, I told you it wasn't that long.
You were thinking of Warcraft, I think, is what you're...
I don't know. See, who were we talking about? Cusack, then, right? See, he's another one. Enough. Like, Hot Tub Time Machine, not great, but made a lot of movie and enough to warrant a sequel.
Yeah. And he wasn't in.
No.
Yeah.
The first one was funny, though.
First one was dumb.
Great. Second one was awful.
Yeah, no, the first one, though, was, like, dumb funny. Yeah. I really enjoyed Hot Tub Time
Machine.
Clark
Duke made that movie.
Yeah.
The second one.
He was in the second one too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was in the first one?
Yeah. That's where he finds out.
The only one that didn't come back
is what's his name? Is
Rob Corddry's
his dad.
Adam Scott replaced John Cusack. Like, I don't think they're the same character, but he replaced the role.
Yeah. He was filling that slot. Right.
Bland white guy.
Whoa. Yeah.
Hey. As much as I happen to be a bland white guy.
Well, I mean, offended. Looking around the room.
There's no shortage of us.
Any one of us could be Adam Scott.
Right, hey, he's doing better than us. Yeah, so,
I'll take that money.
Give him that. So, yeah, Ben-Hur, we'll have to see what that ends up doing, but I think that's the biggest flop of the year so far.
Is that going
to
get... is that had any sort of international release so far?
Not that I know of. Let me see. I will tell you. It might be enough to save it if it does, but right now, no, it's just domestic.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens in the coming weeks with that one.
Good happen.
Number six, Pete's Dragon, the movie from last week. That's
a big old drop.
51%, so it made $10.6 million. But if you think about it, the movie, or number one, made 20.
Number two made
16. Number six made 10. So,
it's spread around pretty well.
Yeah.
For as light as everything is.
Yeah. So, 51% drop from its opening weekend. And so it's in week two with $42 million domestic. It had a pretty small budget, though, $65 million.
Yeah.
So,
who was the director of that? Aiden Embodied Saints? Is it that guy?
Yeah, it's that guy.
Huh. Yeah. So, I don't have any kind of foreign numbers. I see $5 million, but I don't know what countries.
Dos, Trace.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. There's some foreign numbers for
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So so Pete's Dragon almost recouping its budget, and it hasn't opened very wide, so
I'm kind of embarrassed. It took me 210 episodes to think of that joke.
You've just been saving
I want to shoot my wad.
When episode 420 comes along, I cannot wait to see what you come up with.
We're just gonna do Cheech and Chong episodes.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a real spoilers rewind Pineapple Express.
That should be you guys should do like a top pot movies of all time sort of thing.
I hate pot movies.
It depends on what Pineapple Express is really funny.
And we're all going to be high when we do a podcast.
No, because with my luck, I'll get dropped at work.
Like in the arch?
Yeah.
The arch.
Yeah, I'll go up in the arch.
We're going to be up in the arch.
See, instead of high, like an altered state of being, he meant like from an elevation.
We're going to do it from an airplane.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mile high.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're not.
Can we finish this box office report?
That was
relationships
69.
That didn't last as long.
I'm totally losing my train of thought. Number seven, Bad Moms. So talking about a movie that's sticking around and making some good money. $8.1 million, a 29% drop in week four. $85.8 million domestic.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
What was its budget?
It's doing really well.
$85.9 million.
Yeah.
That was just,
no.
How convenient.
Yeah.
I guess Steve's been doing his job. Was that from last week?
Yeah, Steve yeah.
Yeah. So let's see here. Bad Moms had a $20 million budget, has made that $86 million domestic and another about $15 million foreign. So
that's great. Good
it's
for
up
it.
To around $100 million, five times its budget in 4 weeks.
I wish they would take, more than likely they'll green light a sequel, but I would love to see them
Bad
do
Bad Grandmoms.
Yeah, well, just do a quasi sequel.
Yeah,
or
same cast, but
spiritual
a different
sequel.
Exactly.
But yeah, a different movie.
Oh,
because there's
sequels,
no reason to do it again.
There isn't. That's the problem that we're running into is this one was successful. Sequel. Sequel.
You mean like bring that those group of actresses back together and
right.
just do something
just
else.
Do, yeah.
I would love that.
Ghostbusters too.
Yeah, why not? Seriously, why not? At this point.
But I totally agree. I'm so sick of the remakes and sequels, and that's why the movie of the day... Oh, it's not on this chart. Sorry. No, it's not. Not quite yet.
It's not designed to be.
No,
it's
true. But but the movie of the day they'll get into, it's like, wow, an original property.
Are we going to get into that today? Maybe.
If you let me finish. Number 8, Jason Bourne with $8 million. That's a 42% drop. That is up to $140 million in week 4. That's on a $120 million budget. But I think it opened a couple new countries foreign, because it is up to $120 million foreign.
Wow.
So it definitely picked up some steam.
So is that a success? Do you see that as a success?
I do not.
$250 on a $120? I don't think so.
Just limp into the finish.
So it's made its money back.
Yeah.
At this, I mean, it's basically broken even. I mean,
yeah. You think of like marketing. There was a lot of marketing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you're talking about a huge movie like this, a big action movie breaking even.
That's, and with its pedigree and history.
Yeah, that's not good. So I don't think we'll get another... Well, I don't think Matt Damon will be back again for another Bourne movie, but we might see Jeremy Renner returning.
He did a cold line read of the lines from The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah,
as the Green Arrow. It was pretty awesome.
Right.
Yeah, he did it like Kevin Smith did an interview with him. He's like, here, read this real quick.
Oh, I see what they did.
And he read it, and I was like, all right, that's pretty good.
For Jeremy Renner?
No, for Matt Damon.
Oh, Matt Damon. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Jeremy Renner.
No,
I see what you did there. That doesn't make sense. You said the Green Arrow.
Stop. Yeah. Stop.
Sorry. No. Not Hawkeye. I don't think Marvel's going to be like, yeah, go ahead and play the other archer for the other guys.
Yeah. Number 9, The Secret Life of Pets. Still hanging around in week 7. That's $5.4 million. $346 million domestic. And throwing another around $250 million foreign. It's up over $600 worldwide on a $75 million budget.
Louis C.K. is like, yeah, I'll take it.
Was it good?
Yeah,
it was decent.
It was fun. I liked it a lot.
It was decent.
I liked it a lot.
My 5-year-old. My 5-year-old liked
fun.
It.
Okay. So, yeah. It was one of those movies that, you know, it was a kids' movies where adults can
still have time.
Yeah, have a good time. Exactly. It's not like you're there taking your kids to the Lorax or whatever. Right. Where, oh my god,
Pete's Dragon.
Yeah.
Will it be a best animated feature nominee?
It will
probably.
Yeah. It'll be on there.
It won't win.
No, it's not great, like, from a filmmaking perspective, but it was a fun kids movie. And rounding out the top 10, Florence Foster Jenkins with everyone's favorite Big Bang Theory star.
Simon Helberg.
Kaylee Coco.
Meryl Streep.
No, you're thinking of her 70s.
She really loses herself in a role. I take back everything I said about her.
You didn't
her.
Know that
she was Sheldon?
Is Jim
you
Parsons. Didn't
know that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's Meryl Streep playing Jim Parsons.
She's been
playing
Jim Parsons the entire time.
Wow. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, my gosh. Man.
One can only hope.
What a twist.
Yeah,
a twist.
Just a twist. $4.3 million in week 2, so it's up to $14 million, but we know it's a little art house movie. Don't have a budget, but what do you think? $10? $20?
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's a period piece, so that's pretty costume heavy.
You buy it for
so I feel like they did that, and it looked good.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised by that it made $4 million in a weekend.
Yeah. That's
really impressive.
Well, but that is,
you're over 60. What else are you going to go see? Right.
That's a 35
sausage party.
That's a 35% drop too. So you know it made opening weekend. It actually made like 7.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know what? And speaking of sausage party, I know we're about to wrap it up.
But are we?
When I went to go see Hell or High Water,
where is this going?
There was a family buying tickets to sausage party, and I say family not because it was, you know, a dad, you know, a father figure and his brother and
a
his
father figure.
Well, if you say father, then you're
there's
thinking
a,
but I'm not saying it
there's an insight into Kevin psyche right there.
My point is there was a family, meaning a child, and they were all excited to see sausage party. They pointed to the poster. There it is. A little kid.
Oh man.
People are taking kids to see sausage party.
When I saw
for a rude
Deadpool
awakening.
There were like children in the you know, and they get to the pegging scene, and I'm just kind of like, man, good luck explaining that to those 5-year olds who wanted to go
you don't
see
take
a superhero
your kids
movie.
To see sausage party. You take your kids to see a little smoky party.
But I'm just like
the rated PG version.
I'm thinking in my head, like, are they gonna leave the movie like after it starts? Are they gonna let that kid sit through and listen and see that stuff and watch that ending scene?
You've
like
earn this.
Yeah, it's just like, did you guys see it?
I haven't seen it.
You saw it.
I saw it.
I did too. Yeah. I think it was way overhyped. I was way built up on it because.
That's the way
the
I
hype,
felt
you know?
About the what was the Kim Jong-un one?
Yeah,
the interview.
See, that one got so much crap where I think I saw it and I enjoyed it more because
I feel
I'm like,
yeah, I still was just
that
like,
one I enjoyed, but Sausage Party was funny, but it was not this amazing. You know, you see the reviews and everyone's loving it and it's so outrageous, but like, I don't know. I don't know. What did you think? To me, it wasn't this superstar hit that everyone said it was.
Honestly, it was kind of a chore
To
get through it.
It was. And it was a little forced.
Yeah.
The language and profanity was forced. It was not. Usually Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, like when I think of their movies, I think of other people and I go, oh, they're trying to be knocked up or, you know what I mean? They're trying to do super.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're trying to be super bad. This movie felt like it was trying to be super bad, which is weird. But
that's the way everything has felt to me since starting with the interview.
Because they
like
know
they feel like they're trying to.
They have to do that to be successful. Mm-hmm. Like they're known for this outrageous humor. Because man, when you hear Seth Rogen dropping F-bombs constantly, is that hot dog? And it's like you're.
Well,
just
it doesn't
like,
bother me because like.
But you didn't see it. I mean, in this movie, when you see it, you're just like it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I think it was way overhyped, and it was okay. It was entertaining, but I wouldn't watch it again. Would you ever want to go back?
I'm never going
to
watch it again.
It was way too long.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And it was like kind of a tight little running time, too. It was like 90-ish minutes.
Was it?
Right?
Ooh, yeah.
Was it? So. I don't know.
And you can tell it was a $19 million budget, too, because like that animation, and I know we're spoiled by Disney and Pixar.
Oh, I agree.
It's not good.
It's pretty weak.
It's bad animation. For CG today.
What are those like those goofy little videos that come out of, like Taiwan or something, where they're commenting on like American events and it's just like terrible little almost as bad as that.
Yeah, so anyway, that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome, Tom.
I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
We still have 53 minutes to, or 53 seconds to turn it off.
Well, 53 minutes, let me see it. Number 11,
we can talk more about Warner Brothers and their failures if you'd like.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go around the table and everyone can see where to find them. That's what I'd like.
In your basement?
Yeah.
We don't disclose.
Do you have like a...
This is not disclosed.
Edit it out, Kevin. Just edit it.
I can't fix these.
Drop a chicken noise in there.
No.
Like if you had like a social media presence that you wanted to...
Twitter, just at Lord Spaffington.
There we go.
All right. This is Joey. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
Was everyone out last night at a concert in a Bruce Lee movie marathon? What is happening?
I almost went to the Sandlot.
I watched Batman versus Superman, the Ultimate Edition last night.
And
did you lose a bet?
I got a text at like 2 in the morning. Yeah.
What's wrong with
it? It's better, isn't it?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't say it makes it a great movie, but I have to say with the plot holes and things.
There are some things that it kind of helps explain and like it adds in little side scenes or cut scenes that are like, all right, that's a nice little, look at Clark Kent as a reporter.
I don't think it fixes it, but I think it helps explain it. There were so many plot holes where if they would have just left stuff in there, like, oh, they made it look like Superman killed them because they burned the bodies. Like, things where you're like, why does everyone at the...
why is everybody so dumb?
Why does everyone think that Superman does it? He doesn't use guns.
Yeah,
no, they burned him like it was his heat vision.
Right.
You know, like, they explain things. That's
right. Hey, Kevin, where can they find you on Twitter?
That's a very long Twitter handle.
Oh, did I put at before that? At plot holes, and it makes it so... This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, the way we're going, it'll still be happening.
It's our Halloween episode all over again.
You can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers or at our website, RealSpoilers.com or... DirtyPirateHookers.com.
Hey.
It really works. So that's it for this episode. Coming up with the next one, we're going to tackle the smallest release of the week because it needs the love, Hell or High Water. So until then, you've been warned.
Whenever Singing Sandy starts to croon, them bad guys up and hightail out of town. For no matter how compelling Sandy's tune, he's aiming to gun some villain down. Oh, it's a rare peculiarity. Desperados bite the dust and flee to an eerie melody. They meet their destiny whenever Singin' Sandy starts to croon. Beware,
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 beware that haunting air. Beware,
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 beware.
He's 6 feet four and a hat of black. If you're on the square, he's got your back. So he's in order soon. Whenever Singing Sandy starts to croon. Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Da-da-da.